Okay, I'm going to start with a little story. It's amazing. When I was leaving for holiday, I ran into my lounge because I had to take some spiritual nourishment with me to do some reading over God's word and about God in the holidays. And I went to my Puritan books, which I enjoy reading. And I picked up this book that I've had on my shelf for a long time and I haven't read yet, and it's John Bunyan's book on prayer. I can commend it to you. It was quite amazing as I read it. And then Linda said to me during the holiday, oh, Alan sent through an email. We have to choose some topics to teach. I was on holiday. I didn't do much about it. The day before I was due to come home, I said to Linda, open the computer. I want to see what's left. And you won't believe it, but one of the topics left was prayer. And I'd just been studying this book, so it's amazing in the providence of God that he prepared me in my times that I spent on holiday for this morning. But you can never be prepared sufficiently when you come to God's word. Every day God reveals new things to us, and so it's quite a challenge as I stand here this morning to hopefully not give you a set of guidelines and a set of rules and 10 points to follow when you come to prayer with God. Because as we heard this morning, we're talking about an almighty God. We're talking about a God who has sacrificed his son, our Lord Jesus, for us on a cross and then poured out his spirit into our hearts that we can cry out, Abba Father. We're talking about a God like this, a God that is huge and a God that's almighty and a God that calls us to come into communion with him. And so as we learn about him, as we know about him, Tim mentioned Packer's book this morning, Knowing God. As we get to know God, that will give us the heart's desire to come into communion with him. Another great book I can commend that has helped me much in my studies is Communion with God from John Owen, another great Puritan preacher of the day. And that is what it's about. So let's just open with prayer. Father, I pray that you'd give me much grace this day as I preach on this ordinance that you have given to us as believers, as your church that are unified together as a body to come before you and commune with you in prayer. And so, Father, we just pray that this day, as we study your word, Lord, it would not be my words that would unction us to do this. It would not be anything that I say, but that it would be your word that speaks to us and speaks to our hearts, Lord, and awakens our souls and our hearts again this day to pray far more fervently than we do. So, Father, I just pray that you would help us this morning. Be with us as we study your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, so I was asked to speak about what prayer is, why do we pray, and how do we pray. So, to consider what prayer is, I'd like you to open your Bibles with me to 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15, and we're going to have to move it. I don't know what, sure, the time's going to be, we're going to have to go fast. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15. The Apostle Paul says, I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the mind also. Unbelievable words. Because as we consider, as Tim has said this morning, unless we are regenerated, unless we are born again, unless we have the outpouring of the Holy Spirit of God inside our hearts, we cannot come before him in prayer. And so Paul says here that we must pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the mind also. In other words, we have to have understanding. We have to have knowledge. How can we pray if we do not have a knowledge of God, of who he is and what he is like? And that's why he's given us his word, so that as we study his word, he opens our minds. He illumines our minds to an understanding of the truth. And as we see him in all of his glory and all of his majesty and all of his power, we then will have the desire to worship him and to come before him in prayer. Otherwise, it means nothing. If we've got a set of rules and things and we're trying to do something, everyone prays. Have you ever thought about that? The Jews pray. The Greeks pray. The Catholics pray. The Muslims pray. The Hindus pray. Everyone prays, but to who are they praying? Are they praying to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, our God, and through the Lord Jesus Christ, and in the power of the Spirit? It's either yes or it's no. So the question is, do we know God? Because only when we drawn to the one and only true God, through His Word and through an understanding of Him, can we commune with Him in prayer because of our understanding. So through prayer, we open the heart of God. And thus our souls, although empty, are filled. We must pray with understanding, as I've said. And we then can lift up, we could, for example, lift up our hands. We could sing songs of praises to God. We could recite the Lord's Prayer 5 times a day. But what does that mean to God if we are not praying to Him with our hearts and with our souls? It means absolutely nothing to Him. So, John Bunyan has a great summary of what prayer is, and I'm going to quote it to you from his book. He says, prayer, because we're talking about what is prayer. Prayer is a sincere, sensible, note, affectionate, pouring out of the heart or soul to God through Christ in the strength and assistance of the Holy Spirit, for such things as God has promised to us as believers, with submission in faith to the will of God. Always, only in accordance with the will of God. So this morning, for an outline on what prayer is, we're going to consider these things. We are going to, first of all, consider what prayer is. So prayer is, firstly, a sincere pouring out of the soul to God. Turn with me to Jeremiah 29, 12 to 13, so that we can see this from Scripture, please. So here we see Jeremiah crying out to God. As Tim said this morning, we need to cry out to God. So this is all about sincerity. We have to ask ourselves this question in our hearts and our minds. Do we sincerely call out to God? And if we have fallen back, if we have not maintained this daily, let us today reawaken our souls and our hearts to see the need for crying out to God daily. And in Jeremiah 29, from verse 12 to 13, he says, God says to him, "Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you." Who's going to enable us to call out to God? God is, right? He's going to open our minds. He's going to convict our hearts that we need to call out to Him. We can't give one another rules and regulations and say, do it. No, God has to do it, right? He has to do it. And then he says, verse 13, "You will seek me and find me." This is a guarantee from God. Isn't this amazing? Isn't it unbelievable that God gives us that as a guarantee? If we cry out to Him in repentance, if we call upon His name, He will hear us. "So you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart." And God will acknowledge that. He will acknowledge that. He guarantees us that. And He's the one that's going to enable that to happen. So that's sincerity in prayer. There's obviously many, many other verses that we can go to for us to see what it is to be sincere in prayer, but we cannot go everywhere. So we're going to look at these points quite briefly. Secondly, prayer must be sensible. So whether in a corporate environment, many times we see people doing things in the name of the Holy Spirit that are not sensible. We see men uncontrolled in their prayers. We see men uncontrolled in their behavior in churches. We see babbling. We see men rolling on the floor. When the Holy Spirit movement came out of Canada many years ago, I went to churches and I saw men falling down on the floor and barking like dogs and crying like babies. And we have to ask ourselves, is this of the Holy Spirit? A Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, is this what God, as in His Spirit, shows us in His Word? No, He's a spirit of self-control. He is our comforter. He comes into our hearts to comfort us, to guide us. So there's no sensibility in that. So when we pray, we must be sensible in the prayers that we offer to God. And all our prayers have to be in the fear of the Lord. Now, I see no fear in that kind of behavior. In fact, in many of these behavioral patterns, it is actually blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, because this is always done in the name of the Spirit. So we need to search the Scriptures. We need to be very careful of how we discern what sensible prayer is. Sensible prayer comes to our minds because maybe we are convicted of our sin. For example, let me give you an example. Peter wept bitterly. Why did Peter weep bitterly? Because Jesus said to him, Tim preached about it as well this morning about Peter. He wept because Jesus said, you're going to deny me three times. But he was proud. He wasn't humble. And he thought, there's no ways. And what did he do? But afterwards, he wept bitterly. Why did he weep bitterly? Because of a conviction in his heart of the fact that he had sinned against his Lord and his Savior and his Master. And so sincere prayer could come because of a conviction of our sinful state, and we come before the Lord and we pray for him to forgive us of such sins. Our prayers may be from a sense of gratitude. Maybe we are filled with joy, happiness. Something has happened in our lives. Were you not happy when you came to salvation? Were you not filled with joy? Were you not filled with the Holy Spirit of God and with joy, and you want to tell everybody about what has happened to you in your life? That is joy. And we come before God and we give Him thanks for such things in a sensible way, because we are grateful for His mercy and His grace that He has bestowed upon us. Let's read Psalm 103 from verse 1 to 4 for an example here. This is a psalm of David where he's praising the Lord for his many mercies that he's bestowed upon him. And he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits, who pardons all your iniquities. Isn't that amazing? David knew that no matter what iniquity, what sin he had within him, God had forgiven it all. He heals our diseases, who redeems your life from the pit. Isn't that an amazing thing? As we came to salvation, God has, who is light, and in him there is no darkness at all, as we heard even this morning. Jesus is the light. He's come into our hearts. He's redeemed us from the pit by his body and by his blood. And he crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, and who satisfies your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. This is to have prayers, to make prayers and bring them before God that are sensible. Okay, either for forgiveness in for our iniquity, or otherwise to give him gratitude for what he has provided for us in our lives. Thirdly, prayer is affectionate. So where are our affections? Let's look at Psalm 84, verse 2. We always need to consider, where are our affections every single day when we wake up in the morning? Are our affections to come before the Lord first thing in the morning and to give him thanks for the beauty of the new day and for the life and the breath that we have and for his amazing salvation that he has given to us in his Son and this ultimate sacrifice that he has made for us? Do we give him thanks every day for these things? Psalm 84 verse 2 says, my soul longed and even yearned for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. These are words of affection. These are words of a longing to be with God, to know him, to be in his courts. And we as believers have a guarantee of that. We have been saved from the pits of hell. We have been saved from our terrible, wretched state. We have been saved from our evil and wicked and depraved hearts that are within us. I don't know about you, but I wake up every day and I know within 10 minutes of my day, I've probably offended God 50 times. Maybe I'm the only one in here. I don't know. But we have to continually be mindful of repenting every day and praising God, not condemning ourselves, but praising God for his mercy and grace that he's bestowed upon us, and then thanking him and praying that he would give us, in the strength of his spirit that abides in us, perseverance to persevere in the faith every day, because that is what we have to do. And this is what it is like to have an affectionate pouring out of the heart to God. Let's look at Daniel 9, verse 19. Is anyone there? Okay, but I'll get there now. Here we see Daniel crying out to the Lord on behalf of his people who were in Babylon for 70 years under the judgment of God, under the anger and the wrath of God, because they had departed from the truth. They had apostatized from the truth. You see, the God we serve is a God who hates sin. He's a God who wants nothing to do with sin. He's a God who will place his judgment upon anyone who sins against him. And we saw that in the history of Israel. We saw that in the history of the nation of Israel, throughout and throughout. Thrown into Pharaoh's house 400 years, put into the wilderness, thrown into Babylon. And we see that the judgment of God is real. We see that God hates sin. He hates our wretched and wicked hearts. But when we cry out to him for mercy, and we cry to him in repentance, he is a loving God. He is a compassionate God. He's abounding in loving kindness towards us. And we see here Daniel crying out to him affectionately, saying, "O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive." Notice how what he asks for. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. "O Lord, listen and take action. For your own sake, O my God, do not delay, because your city and your people are called by your name." So we have to ask ourselves the question every day, do we cry out to God affectionately in our times of prayer, when we are in our times of quiet with God, alone in our rooms, wherever we may be? Are we on our knees? Are we affectionately coming before our Lord, our Savior, our strength and Redeemer, and crying out to him to be merciful to us, crying out to him to help us to persevere in the faith and to forgive us our sins that we commit each day, and to change us so that we would not be caught in habitual sin, but so that we would be changed into the likeness of Christ daily as we come before him in prayer. Psalm 62, verse 8. Please turn there. Psalm 62, verse 8 says, "Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us." There we see another example of what it is to pour out our hearts before the living God. Fourthly, prayer is only possible by the strength and assistance of the Holy Spirit. Now, this is a great chapter. Go to Romans 8. This is an amazing promise of God that we find here in Romans chapter 8. "For those of us that have been called according to the purposes of God, for those of us that have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus, for those of us that have been adopted as sons of God," this is quite an amazing verse for us to read, and we're going to read from verse 26. Romans 8, verse 26. As we've said, prayer is only possible by the strength and assistance of the Holy Spirit. In the same way, Paul writes to the Roman church, he says, in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. Our weakness is what? Our weakness is our sin. It is the fact that we are separated from God, because Adam and Eve were separated from God and thrown out of the garden. And so are we. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Is this not amazing? If we look back in verse 15, the apostle says, for you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption. Exactly what Tim spoke about this morning. As sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. And we have to ask ourselves, today, maybe there are some in this room that have never cried out, Abba, Father, because they haven't been adopted as sons. We need to cry out to the Lord to bestow his mercy and grace upon us and to repent of our sins and to save us so that we can cry out to him, Abba, Father. And when we can do that, then we can call him Daddy. We can know him as our Father. And he wants us to know him as Father so that he can have intercession with us, so that he can commune with us. And how is that made possible? Only through God the Spirit. So God the Father, in all of his power, has given us God the Son as the propitiation for our sin, so that, and then he's poured out the Holy Spirit into our hearts that we can cry out, Abba, Father, that we can know him, that we can hear him, that we can hear him through his word that he gives to us. We don't hear him physically. Like, I didn't wake up this morning and get a word from God to come and tell you this morning. We learn from God by hearing God's word that he's given to us. He hasn't left us with nothing. He's left us with his word. And then he's poured out his Spirit, and his Spirit is interceding for us in our weakness, in our sinful state. Is that not amazing? To think that God is doing that personally. In 1 Corinthians, I don't know exactly which chapter, but he says you are temples of the Holy Spirit. Is that not an amazing thought to comprehend? That God himself in Jesus Christ has come and he's living inside your heart and your soul. It's unfathomable. It's too big for us to imagine. But we must think about these things. We must meditate about these things, because then we see the greatness of God. Because God isn't this little God. He's a huge God beyond our comprehension. And so we must fill our minds with the scriptures and with these thoughts, because it's these thoughts that will keep us every day in the knowledge and understanding of God and who he is, and keep us in the faith. And so the Spirit intercedes himself. Notice the words there. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings. So the Spirit is interceding through Jesus with our Father, with groanings. Why? Because of our sin every day. And his groanings are too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And so God knows our hearts, and the Spirit knows our hearts, and he is continually interceding for us, the saints, those that have been called, those that have been adopted as sons of God, according always to the will of God. So that's quite mind-blowing and quite amazing. Right, fifthly. So, we've seen that to pray, firstly, we have to pray with sincerity. Secondly, our prayers have to be sensible. Thirdly, our prayers have to be affectionate. Fourth, our prayers will only be heard by God in the strength and assistance of the Holy Spirit. Fifthly, prayer is for such things as God has promised. Let's read Matthew 6 from 6 to 8. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So God knows what we need. So when we pray, we must come before him in prayers of forgiveness. We must come before him in prayers of giving thanks to him, in prayers of joy and hope. We need to pray for peace. We need to pray that God gives us peace. We need to pray for the transformation of our minds in the knowledge of God. Because when we pray for these things according to the will of God, as God has revealed to us in the scriptures, he is going to grant them. He is going to give them to us because we are praying according to his will. We must pray that we would become more like Christ. We must pray every day that the Lord would not allow us to be led into temptation. It's in the Lord's Prayer, which Andre is going to do. So I'm not going to expound on that because he needs to do that. We have to pray that we would be delivered from evil every day. Otherwise, I'm going to take everything that Andre has to say, and then he'll have nothing to say. So I don't want to do that this morning. Okay, so these are prayers for such things as God has promised, because they are according to the will of God, because the Spirit is interceding for us according to the will of God. It's quite an amazing thing. Sixthly, prayer is for the good of the church. Let's turn to Philippians 1, verse 9 to 11. Philippians 1, from verse 9. I want to keep everyone awake, so I want you to try and turn with me. Okay, Philippians 1 verse 9 reads, "And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ." Quite an amazing prayer that Paul has here for the Philippians that have come to a knowledge of the truth of the Lord Jesus as their Savior because of his mercy and grace that he's bestowed upon them. And he says here, "I said to you, our prayer has to be for the good of the church." And so he says, and I pray, the first thing is that your love may abound still more and more. Firstly, your love for the Lord Jesus, who has saved you, who has redeemed you, who has adopted you as a son. And second of all, your love for one another as a body. That's what he's talking about. Your love for one another as a body. And so our prayers have to be for the good of the church. We have to love one another. We have to consider one another's anxieties. We have to consider one another's difficulties. We have to cry with one another if one of us is facing trials and tribulations. We have to have joy with others who have come to salvation or have joy in knowing the Lord Jesus and growing in a knowledge of him. And in all of these things, we need to bring them to God in prayer. He also says here, how can we do that? Well, we have to have a real knowledge and all discernment. In other words, we have to be sound in doctrine. There's so many false doctrines that are going around, so many false teachings. And how can we encourage one another as a body in false doctrine? No, God doesn't want that from us. He wants us to encourage one another to grow in the faith and to stay strong in the faith and to continue walking in the faith till the end. We can only do that with the truth of his word that he has given to us. When we are sound in our minds of the knowledge of God. And then, so that you may approve the things that are excellent in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ. So we are waiting for that day. And we have to encourage one another to pray expectantly, waiting for that day that we would stay pure in the thoughts of our hearts and our minds, as we are transformed in our minds by the reading and the studying of God's word. Okay, sixthly, prayer is for the good of the church. Yeah, we've done that. Okay, now, seventh one is prayer submits to the will of God. Let's go to Matthew 6. Verse 10, second half. Jesus says in his prayer, "Your will be done." So we said, prayer submits to the will of God. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he has to take the cup, the wrath of God, he says, "Father, not my will be done, your will be done." And this is exactly what we have to do when we pray. We need to bring our prayers with humility before God. We need to lay them at the foot of our living God, our Savior, our strength, our Redeemer. We need to come and make our prayers according to his will through that which he has revealed to us in his word. Because he is the Lord, he is the King, and he's seated on the throne of grace. Let's go to 1 John 5:14 to 15. So 1 John 5 verse 14 says, "This is the confidence which we have before him," before God, "that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests which we have asked from him." And so we can have a confidence to know. Because notice that word. He says, this is the confidence. We have a confidence to know that we serve a living God. We serve a living Christ. We serve a living Holy Spirit who's abiding in us, who is interceding with us. For us, with groanings to God the Father. And that is an amazing truth for us to know. Okay, so what is prayer? A sincere, sensible, affectionate outpouring of the heart and soul to God through the power and ability of the Holy Spirit that abides in us through Jesus for those things that God has promised to us for the good of the church, always only according to the will of God. That's what true prayer is. Nothing else. Why do we pray? Hebrews 4, verse 16. Hebrews 4, verse 16 reads, "Therefore, let us draw near with confidence," there's that word again, "with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in a time of need." Isn't this amazing? That God is calling us who believe to come and draw near with confidence to the throne of grace. In the nation of Israel, you had the Holy of Holies. You had the Ark of the Covenant. You had the mercy seat. You had the two cherubs. God used to come and abide there in the Holy of Holies. He was seated on the throne. We now have a high priest, Jesus Christ. He is seated on the throne. He is the throne of grace. He is the one who has made propitiation for our sins. He is the one who has forgiven our sins because of his body and blood. And he is calling us and he says, "Draw near to me with confidence to my throne of grace." And we have to ask ourselves this question. Do you think we do that sufficiently? I don't know. Do you think we do it sufficiently? It's a challenge for us this morning. This is God's word. And he's telling us us here. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence. And he's telling us to do this how? Look at Hebrews 3, verse 1, what it says. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession. How do we do this? By filling our minds with knowledge and understanding, as we heard in Philippians, what Paul was saying to the Philippian church, of Christ. Filling our minds with the Lord Jesus. Filling our minds with his sacrifice that was made on our behalf. Filling our minds with the fact that he is risen again, that on the third day he rose, and he overcame death for us, and that he rose into the heavenly places, and he is seated on the throne of grace, and he is giving us a personal invitation to come. A personal invitation to come. Isn't that amazing? Turn to Philippians 4, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, which surpasses all comprehension, understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Isn't that an amazing statement? That's why we come to God in prayer. That's why we come, because God is going to give us his peace. God is going to give us that which nothing can give us. Just think of it. Maybe we men, our hearts are desperately wicked. We love the things of this world. I don't know. I like them. I like fast cars. I like fast jet skis. I like these things. I don't know why I like them. It's terrible, but I like them. But maybe you can buy that new car. And you drive down the road and there's a curb in the way. You didn't see it. And you drive over it and now you damage that brand new mag wheel. And you sit and you cry over this thing. It's nothing. It's a piece of metal. But it hurts your heart. Isn't it ridiculous? Does it show you how weak we are? Or someone comes and they smash into the back of your new car. And next minute it's broken and you stand there and you cry over this piece of metal. That someone can just go and take another piece and stick it on there and put a bit of spray paint over it. But that's how hectic it is. Because we get upset by the things of this world so easily. And that's why God is telling us, listen, take your mind off these things here, because these things are nothing. These things are, they're rubbish. They count for nothing. They got nothing to do with eternity, but keep your hearts and minds on me, because I will give you peace. And you see the world, you see people chasing after everything to try and give them peace. And they can buy this and buy that, and they'll buy the new car, and it'll be nice for 1 month. And then the second month, it's not good anymore. And it won't be exciting. And then they'll go and buy their next house in Switzerland or whatever. And they'll go to that Swiss chalet maybe for a month in December. And then it still won't be good enough for them. And they'll go to Platt and they'll buy a house on the beach there. And they'll spend a month there. And nothing's ever good enough. Because the things of this world can never satisfy the longing that we have in our soul. Tim mentioned this morning, God has put it into our hearts that we know that he is God. And he wants us to worship him and honor him and praise him. And that is what it's all about. And so we will only have peace and we will not be anxious when we pray and give him thanks and make our requests to him that we would overcome our lustful desires for all of these things in the world. And that we would want to worship him above all of these things. There's nothing wrong in having these things, but we mustn't worship them. And we mustn't be overcome by them, because they're just things. But God is God, and he is our Father. And we can cry out, Abba Father. And so we've got a much, much, much greater joy and a hope in him, because he is about eternity. And so that is why we pray. And so God says to us today, he says to us today, come boldly to the throne of grace. Now there may be some of us that are not coming boldly to the throne of grace regularly. Maybe we've repented and believed in the past, but we're not regularly coming to this throne of grace. And today we have to ask ourselves why. And we have to go today home and we have to get on our knees and we have to cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, awaken my soul. Lord, wake me up. Because there's nothing more that God wants from us than for us to commune with him. You know, if I'm driving home in the car, I sometimes have a desire to phone my dad to say, hello, dad, how are you? Or my mom, hello, mom, how are you? That is the kind of desire, because it's a desire that comes from the heart, right? That is the kind of desire that God wants from us, because he's our Father. He wants us to come and say, morning, Lord. He wants us to bring our prayers to him. He wants us to come and give him thanks. He wants us to bring our supplications before him, our anxieties, our troubles, our worries. And he is the one that is going to help us. He is the one that is going to take us through. And so we have to say to ourselves, if we are not doing that daily, if we are not doing that from the loving desire that God has put in our hearts, well, maybe we're not even saved. Maybe we're not even saved. And then to those of us that don't do that, there may be some of us in the room today and are not doing it from the heart. We have to cry out to God because he says, come to the throne of grace. He's calling out to you this morning and he's saying to you, here I am. Here I am. I am the one that can bear your sin. I'm the one that can be the propitiation for your sin. I'm the one that was nailed on the cross. I'm the one that had a spear put in my side. I'm the one that whose blood flowed out for the forgiveness of your sin. And I'm the one that's alive and reigns, and I'm the only one that can forgive you. And he's calling to you today to repent of your sins. He's calling you to you today to cry out to him. To cry out to him. God wants us to cry out to him today to forgive us of our sinful states. And he is faithful and just when we do that, to do that. He who knew no sin became sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. That is an amazing thing. That is an amazing thing to think about. It's too big for our minds to comprehend. What God, in his abounding loving kindness, has done for us. So he says to us today, come boldly to the throne of grace, that you may receive mercy and grace in a time of need. So if we think we're needy, there's nowhere else that we need to go. There's no psychologist that can help us. There's no pills that can help us. They're going to help us for a temporary period. There's one place that we have to go, to the throne of grace, and to bring our anxieties, our difficulties, our joys, our illnesses, our health to God. And God will hear our prayers, and he will give us comfort, and he will give us peace. And that's what we need as men. So, that is why we pray. Lastly, how do we pray? Okay, we either pray corporately, together with one another, or we pray privately. We pray to our Father through our Lord Jesus with the help and the aid of the Holy Spirit. Please turn with me to Ephesians 2. And we're going to read verse 18. For through him we both have our access in one spirit to the Father. So, how do we pray? We pray through the Son, with the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit, to our Father God, who is seated on the throne that we've just discussed, because that is his rightful place. He is the one who is worthy to receive all honor and praise and glory, and him alone. And I said to you, I'm not going to give you some rules and regulations about how to pray. I'd rather that we fill our minds with the knowledge of God and of his Son, our Savior Jesus, and of his Spirit. And when we do that, we will be unctioned to pray by the Spirit, because that is according to the will of God. But I'll give you some idea of what we should pray and how we should pray. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17. Paul is telling the Thessalonian church here, church in Thessaloniki, he says to them, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. There again, we are called to pray without ceasing, and in everything to give thanks, for that is the will of God for us in our Lord Jesus. Secondly, we are to pray to God with confession. So if you want to make some points, we pray with acclamation and thanksgiving. We pray to God, secondly, with confession. Let's read James 5, verse 16. Are the birds chasing me up here? Okay, verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. So the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. So when we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And when we confess our sins to other believers are then making prayers and supplication on behalf of us to Jesus, to our Savior. And he hears these prayers, and he answers these prayers. So firstly, we can pray with acclamation and thanksgiving. Secondly, we can pray with confessing our sins to one another and to God. Thirdly, we pray for being built up in the faith, to persevere for the saints, and for boldness in preaching the gospel. Let's read Ephesians 6, verse 18. We want the Word of God to speak to us today. So as we read these verses, these are very, very important truths that God has given to us, that he has given to us, that our minds should be transformed in them, that we should contemplate them, that we should think about them, that we should pray about them. And the apostle says here, with all prayer and petition. Notice the importance here again, with all prayer and petition. Pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. So, we have to pray continually, as we've said previously, for one another, so that we will persevere. We need to pray. We need to pray. We need to pray. God's calling us to pray. He's calling us to have communion with him. He's calling for us to bring our supplications to him. Jude 19, 20 to 21. No, sorry, 20 to 21. Three. Right, Jude 20. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. And so once again, how do we pray? We pray through the Holy Spirit to our Lord Jesus, and we keep ourselves in the love of God as we keep our hearts and our minds focused upon Him, and we wait anxiously for His mercy and for eternal life, because that is our hope. That is our joy. There can be nothing else that gives us hope. There can be nothing else that gives us joy, except when we bring our prayers and supplications to God. And now I want to just close, and there's 5 minutes for us to read as we close about the Lamb, about the Lord of Lords, about the King of Kings, about our Savior that has saved us with His body and with His blood. And as we consider prayer this morning and what we've discussed and what it is to pray and why we pray and how we pray because Jesus has come into our lives. Revelation 5 from verse 8. If you want to turn there, you're welcome. This is an amazing passage of acclamation for our Savior, for our Lord, for our God, in His mercy and His grace that He bestows upon us as sinful, depraved men. Verse 8, when He had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Notice how they praise God. Each one holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Notice the importance of the prayers of the saints. Our prayers are important to God. He loves them. He wants us to pray. He says, come to the throne of grace. And they sang a new song saying, worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals, for you were slain and purchased for God with your blood, men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. Isn't that amazing, eh? So from this whole world, God is going to redeem, is redeeming people of every nation and every tongue. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God. We are made priests. It's quite amazing. And they will reign upon the earth. Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne and the living creatures and the elders, and the numbers of them were myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And every created thing, listen to this, this is the acclamation of Christ, this is when He is glorified. And every created thing which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all things in them, I heard saying, to Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. This is who we've been speaking about. This is coming to the throne of grace with our prayers and our supplications so that we will find mercy and grace in a time of need. He says, to Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever. And the four living creatures kept saying, amen. And the elders fell down and worshipped. Let's close. Father, we are amazed. Once again, Your word has revealed to us what true prayer is. O Lord, You have called us to pray. You say, come to Your throne of grace, Lord. But Father, we are weak. We are men. Father, we fall so short of actually doing this regularly enough and sincerely enough and with gracious hearts, Lord. We do not do it sufficiently. We pray even today, Lord, You would awaken our souls. That, Lord, for us who are believers, that You would reawaken us, Lord. That we would come close to You. That we would come close to You every day. bringing our prayers and supplications to you so that you will grant us your peace in whatever place we find ourselves and in whatever circumstances we find ourselves. Father, we pray for your mercy and grace to do this because we do this only through you, because of your Son that you have sacrificed for us, and through the pouring out of your Spirit who is living and active in our hearts. And so, Lord, we just pray that you would help us, encourage us this day to do just this. You love to commune with us. We pray that we would do it more fervently than we do. And Father, we just pray for any here who do not know what we are talking about, Lord, who may just offer lip service to you. We pray, Lord, that you would awaken their hearts today with a knowledge of their sin and their wretchedness and their wickedness before you. And Lord, that they would cry out to you to save them from their sin, because you are mighty and you can save. And so, Father, we just praise you for this morning. We thank you that we could study your word. We give you all praise and thanks. In Jesus, our wonderful Savior's name, we pray. Amen.